totally makes sense. Like, right. Develop a habit, stick with it, and eventually you'll get an Instagram following or a body of work that you're really proud of. So,
welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the awesome story behind your passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. Enjoy this week's episode.
All right, so I'm excited to have Lisa Quine on the Passion Behind the Art podcast. She's Cleveland's finest when it comes to design. So welcome, Lisa.
Hi, nice to finally sit down and chit-chat with you.
Yes, so how did Lisa's journey start? What age, when did she know she was going to be this awesome letterer? Just how did the journey start for Lisa?
Well, growing up, my parents kind of sat us down in front of all the Disney movies, to get us to stop fighting with each other. I'm the oldest of three. And so I was just, ingrained in that world, a lot of kids growing up in the 90s. And I think, one of my first ones was Lion King and Aladdin. But I was so fascinated by the behind the scenes when they showed the Disney animators and stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, that's what I want to do. I started drawing Disney characters and stuff. And I thought I was going to be a Disney Imagineer. I think that's what they called them. But came to find that I don't have patience, so I hated drawing the same thing over and over again. I would make little flip books. I'm like, nope, I don't like animation. But I always continued to draw. We were, also involved in, sports, theater, art. So, I don't know how my parents kept track of three kids doing all that, but I was just ingrained in, so many different hobbies, but art always stood out to me. So it was kind of elimination process, but lettering specifically. So in high school, I was definitely one of those emo kids. that comes up a lot just because that's how I got into lettering, but I would listen to songs for the sad lyrics and I would be doodling them in the sides of my notes in high school and stuff. And people would be like, oh, what's you working on? That looks really cool. And it's like, I hate everything. I'm like, oh, God. So that's how I got into lettering. I did not know it was a thing. I just, loved illustrating lyrics and quotes and stuff. For sports, I would draw, quotes by different coaches and stuff. And mm-hmm. I had this whole page I would take out and read before games and stuff. But I just, I've always loved illustrating words because they meant so much. Mm. And then around, I graduated in 2008, so I knew I wanted to do art, but I wanted something that would, I could get a job in. So I'm graphic design, everyone's doing that. And it seemed really cool to learn computer classes and stuff because I didn't get that in high school. I did art 1 through 4. And they didn't offer a whole lot of digital training. Right. So I remember one day in my whole high school career was dedicated to an intro to Photoshop and it was terrible. So going to college, that was a huge learning curve, learning Photoshop and Illustrator. I think it was really frustrating at first because I know a few people that dropped out because it was too hard to learn the programs and stuff. It was definitely different. After freshman year, all foundation classes, drawing, sculpting, and all that. I think that's what people were expecting graphic design to be. But so in college, I went to the University of Dayton and studied graphic design there. But we were just always on the computer, especially senior year. Everyone has been through getting a portfolio together.
Right.
And I just felt my eyes were burning because you'd wake up at 7 a.m., work till 3 a.m., and just constantly be on the computer. So after graduating, I wanted to get back to paper, pen and paper. So I would come home after an internship and just start drawing lyrics again, you know. It was just nice to go back to that kind of analog. Yeah, yeah.
Because I noticed you still do a lot. You still do a ton of offline stuff, which is pretty cool.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's addicting. Like, it's just because I developed that habit back in 2012 when I graduated, just coming home from work, being on the computer all day, and just drawing.
Okay. Cool. So I went through kind of your profile a little and noticed that you actually do work for someone as an art director. Talk a little bit about that.
So after graduating, I wanted to get into advertising. It sounded super fun, like very laid back and stuff. So I first started out at Broca Inc. here in Cleveland, and then I got a message on LinkedIn saying like, "Hey, well, we want you to come check out Global Prairie." Ooh. And I have never heard of it before. So I went in and it blew my mind. Like, it was an advertising agency, well, marketing firm that had offices in different cities all around the world. And the employee benefits just like blew me away. So the founders wanted to start a company where like they put people first, but that also did like good in the world. Mm. So their shtick was like to take 10% of their profits, give it to their employees to donate to causes that they're really passionate about. Wow. I was just like, what? They're like, yeah, we really like the company Patagonia and how they treat their employees. And we're like building our company to mimic that culture. Oh, cool. And so we'll take like health and wellness days where we go kayaking, like, as a group and stuff. And I mean, we also work too, but we do giving days as well, where we go out to like, you know, Habitat for Humanity and volunteer for a whole day. So it felt rewarding too, because I think the advertising world has a stigma too, right, where it's like you're doing soulless work for a client. And that's how it started out. But it just like feels better. Like I go to work happy now. So, yeah, it's really cool. They have a culture that's just amazing. You feel welcome. You feel like you're doing good in the world. So
how are you balancing that and freelance and trying to now be a wife?
I'm insane. It's not working that well, but I want to say yes to everything. Like I love my job right now. In talks with making it a shorter work week just so I can do lettering, and they're really cool about it. Like I think they seem open to people that are passionate about it. And they let me do lettering on the side, so that's cool. But balancing is tough. You wake up early, try to work before work, go to work, and then work after work. So I feel like a hamster. Just constantly on the wheel, but it's all fun stuff. Like it doesn't feel like work. All the projects I do like are for really, really cool clients. Like I have been really lucky to not get like a soul sucking one outside of work. But yeah, like it is a struggle because sometimes you don't make time for emergencies and stuff. And when life happens, like it sets me back a lot just because I do pile. Mm-hmm. Like, if I have a lunch break open, I'm like, yep, I'm working on that project then. Like, I'm setting up a meeting, like, during lunch, before work, after work. And sometimes it's hard when you're getting bigger clients that just expect that you do this full time.
Right.
Like, sometimes that's a turnoff. I know McDonald's in Australia approached me one time, and they're like, oh, you have a full-time job. Like, we're not gonna, like, this is a quick turnaround. We need you to be dedicated to it. I'm like, damn it. So it's challenging, but right now it's working, but I'm trying to make more time for lettering.
Okay, cool. So how do you go about, like, how are you getting projects? Like, are people reaching out to you? Is there any, like, strategic thing that you're actually doing?
That's a great question, and I would love to learn more about this from other people, too, like, what their thing is, but Instagram definitely opened up like a new world for me. And I think that's where a lot of the non-local projects have trickled in. Mm-hmm. But Cleveland itself is like, it's a city, but it's a small city. So I've learned quickly, if you know one person, you know, like the whole
okay.
city. And I've been getting a lot just through word of mouth and people that know people. They're like, hey, check this out. Like, I cold emailed one restaurant. It was my favorite restaurant in town. I'm like, hey, like, if there's anything I could do, I do lettering. Like, I would love to help out. And they, I cannot believe this, but they emailed me back right away and like, yeah, like, let's bring you in and see what you could do, blah, blah, blah. And then he hooked me up with like other Cleveland businesses. So it's just this whole, like, networking in the city has been huge for me.
Awesome. Awesome. So during this journey, like, who would you say is your support system? Like, the people that you draw energy from, the people that's been with you through this, when it wasn't that easy?
Again, I totally lucked out, and there's not that many haters out there. Like, my family, my parents, obviously, have been super supportive, and then the new husband that I just married, he is, like, fully with me throughout this crazy, crazy schedule of mine, and he'll be the one, like, running to get groceries and tidying up around the apartment and cooking, and, like, it, that has been a lifesaver, because before I met him and I was doing all this, I was eating microwave meals for every meal, and it was really healthy. But, no, he has just been there for me. I'll, like, be ripping my hair out and be like, I can't do all this, like, right now. I have 5 things due tomorrow. And he's just like, you'll get it done. You always do, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, fine. Headphones in, work. But, no, a lot of, like, people at work have been supportive. People just, like, in the community. I saw that you interviewed Diane Gibbs. Like, mm-hmm. I just met her this year, and she's been super cool. So there's, like, people out in our Instagram community, too, that have been super supportive, like, getting all the comments saying, like, keep up the good work and stuff. Like, you've inspired me. That's what really keeps me going. People reach out and be like, oh, like, you got me into lettering, or, like, you're, I know what tools to use now because I see the pens, like, in your pictures and stuff. So that's been really awesome, too.
Awesome, awesome. So I noticed that you are pretty involved in weapons. How did that come about?
Oh, my God. That was quite the journey. Two years ago was, like, my first one ever. And I was sitting there. I'm like, I didn't know what Inkwars was. And that blew my mind. I'm like, I want to do that. I need to do that. I love competition. Like, I need to get involved in that. And then just all the speakers, I was completely blown away. That was my first conference ever. And so the following year, I was like, I emailed them, or I'm like, I want to do Inkwars, like, choose me, I do lettering, like, I don't see a lot of letters up there, so that could be kind of cool, or a complete failure, but let's find out. And then, lo and behold, like, there I was, like, in front of a huge board. So the next year, my second Weapons of Mass Creation, we did that, and the topic was Superman and awkward teenage years, and I thought you picked one, but you had to merge them both, so I was like, yes, like, I know this topic exactly. I just started doodling all the emo lyrics I could think of. I'm like, yep, I already lived through this, so this is what it looked like, one of my notebooks, the board afterwards. And then they're like, how are you incorporating Superman? I'm like, what? So, like, about a half an hour into that, I was like, So I drew, like, a little Superman with, like, in the lyrics. And, like, I did the droop, like, the emo drippy eyes. And so I was like, this kind of works. But I did come in third place. So I was, like, snuck in there somehow. It was awesome. And then the following year, so this is my second Weapons of Mass Creation, they asked me to speak. And that was the hardest I've ever worked on anything, because I am an introvert at heart and totally shy. I hate my voice. I hate talking in front of people. So that was a huge learning curve. But I would listen to books. I would watch YouTube videos on speakers. I would take a little, like, from everybody and just put it into one presentation, add some GIFs for laughs, and boom, there you have it.
Oh, that's cool.
But no, the whole Weapons of Mass Creation team is so cool. Like, that whole community, met a lot of people, and everyone's super nice and inspiring. So it's definitely fun to be a part of.
So now we go from weapons to now creative self. So how did that, like, come into play?
I heard about Creative South. Like, it seemed like a bigger conference. But I know I needed to go to, like, and everybody was going the year I was. Like, I kept seeing it on Instagram, like, can't wait for Creative South. I'm like, I can't wait to meet all these people on Instagram, like, for the first time in real life. So that was super fun. But I wanted to do Ink Wars again, and that was just a mess because they have it on Friday night, and there was that storm in Atlanta. So my plane got canceled, and at 4 a.m, I'm on the phone. I'm like, they canceled the flight from Cleveland to Atlanta. So I called the airport that's an hour away, mm-hmm. and luckily they had a plane, like, leaving for Atlanta that I could, like, sneak onto. And so that was just, like, chaos. I finally get to Creative South, and I have to do Ink Wars. It's on a bridge. Like, the boards are up against the railing, and I'm like, I am terrified of heights. I'm like, this is just awful. There's fireworks going off. We're really high up on a bridge, and in a very stressful competition. Like, Ink Wars at Weapons of Mass Creation, you're, like, not on a stage. So that was great. But, like, here you're just, like, under the spotlight, and the theme was Never Say Die. And I was like, what? So I was trying to think of, like, mantras, like, go get them, you know? And YOLO kept sticking out to my head. I'm like, I can't do that. I cannot do YOLO. And so Never Say Die, I was like, don't stop believing. Yeah, like, that's a good one. And I think Journey just got inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So that was just, like, fresh in my mind. And so I did, Just a Small Town Girl, like, people will make that connection. It was right. Just too many things removed from the topic. No one got it. It was awesome. But it was just really cool to be up there with, like, so many talented illustrators and stuff. So that was fun.
So that was this past year, right?
Yes. And that was my first Creative South.
Wow, wow, wow. Because I saw you when you were working on the Bentley.
That too.
So, like, Mike just grabbed you and was like, come on, let's go work on this.
Oh, Dylan. Oh, I saw Dylan. Interviewed him, too.
Dylan is awesome.
He is such an awesome guy. I met him through Ink Wars at Weapons.
Okay.
So he was like, I got to do it for Creative South. Oh, and we're drawing on a Bentley. Like, come do that, too. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be working, like, for my first Creative South. No, but are you going this year?
Yes, I'm. Yay! Yes, I am going this year, so I'm hoping to be there every year. Last year, I was like, I'm definitely going to be there every year.
Oh my God, yes, perfect. It is so inspiring. Like, it's a hell of a weekend.
Tell me about it. So, what would you say after all of this? It seems like Lisa just had it all made. She never had any struggles, but just in case. What would you say was the greatest struggle you had to overcome?
Oh my God. That was like the epitome of my speech. Just like all the hurdles and stuff, which really weren't that bad. But I think the biggest struggle was art shows. So I've had a couple of art shows, but this one in Canton, Ohio, which is like an hour from Cleveland, I had a solo art show, and at the same time I was working on pieces for that, I had gotten feedback that I was moving to the next level to sell a journal in Target through this third party. And I was like, oh shit, like, I gotta focus on these two huge things at the same time. So I think the biggest struggle for the art show was I wanted to do musical lyrics, like that, going back to the early days and stuff. But I wanted to do large pieces so I could fill the gallery. And so I tried screen printing, and I haven't done it since college. So it was a mess. I had to, like, relearn how to screen print and, like, do the registration and everything. And that was terrible. My spaghetti arms are not good for, like, pulling down the ink. So that was a struggle. And then I used a lot of color, which I usually use, like, zero color in my work, and that didn't come out well. So I learned a shit ton during that fail of an art show. Like, I should have known, too. Like, it wasn't getting that many likes on Instagram. I know that's not a good measuring tool, but it is in a way, too. Like, if people aren't liking it, like, no one in Ohio is going to like it. So I've learned a lot, like just baby steps, like stick to what you know when you're doing an art show. Like I believe in taking risks too, but something for that big, no. So I had an art show after that failure of a one, and I just did black, white, and gold. That was like the color palette. And I did a lot of little ones, and they were all in gold frames behind a brick wall, and they were selling like crazy, and I just had much better feedback.
So you did, that was that one, the second one was also a solo art show?
Yes, and this one was, the second one was in a coffee shop here in Cleveland.
Oh, that's awesome. So how did,
yeah.
So you just basically said, I'm going to have an art show and just created series for the art show?
Yeah, I mean, I got, both times I got approached, and I had done an art show at my alma mater in University of Dayton, so that was a crazy time, too, because all I had were sketches, tracing paper, like, I just pinned it all up on a wall, it looked like a war room, like, this is what I've done, like, since graduating, but, yeah, so it's been super different for each of the three art shows, and, I forgot the question. I haven't had my coffee yet.
No, it's all right. It's I was just kind of curious. How did you like get it started and like even thinking about doing something like that, especially a solo one?
Yeah, just saying yes to everything. Like, I rarely turn down. Well, I used to rarely turn down projects. I'm like, yeah, that sounds fun. Why not? So, seeing Mrs. Eves on Instagram, like, I know she does a lot of, like, lettering art shows, and, like, I love her stuff, like, she's doing solo shows, like, I want to eventually get to that, so I luckily just have had people that have seen my art, and they're like, yeah, we want to show you, like, we think you'll do really well, and it does feel a little more commercial, like, I always thought lettering just was in advertising, magazine covers, like, headlines and stuff like that. I never considered it to be fine art until I saw Mrs. Eve's Instagram. Mm-hmm. And yeah, here we are. And then I have an art show coming up in January in somewhere in Tennessee. I think it's like outside of Nashville. So I'll be dedicating December to that.
Okay. So when you say someone approached you, how does that work? Are they like,
So for, Dayton, my professor saw that I was very active on Instagram outside of work and lettering, so that's how that happened. But I met a gallery owner in Canton, just like networking in Cleveland. So then he found my Instagram. He's like, "Yeah, well, we show artists every month. Why don't you come do it?" And then the Rising Star Coffee. I think where'd she see my work? And she just saw it somewhere around Cleveland. Like, I've been doing events here and there, so. It's all networking.
Okay. So these are like people that promote art shows or have art shows and they just kind of feature someone from time to time.
It's kind of nice like being in a smaller city because it's hard to not get noticed if you're doing a whole lot.
Okay. I get it. So what's next for Lisa? What's on the horizon? What's...
too much. besides the art show in January, also in January, I'm going to be starting a 6-wall mural. It's going to be insane. Like, for some reason, at the start of each year now, there's been a multiple wall mural project. Like, I don't know if you saw, you probably had to scroll a lot, but last year I did a whole company lobby. They gave me a list of 100 things. Like values, jokes, inside jokes with the company. They're like, we want this all in the lobby. So that took like, I don't know, 3 months outside of a full-time job. But like sketching all the 100 items, like where to place them on 4 different walls in a lobby. So that was that. And then this year, it's kind of the same thing, but on 3 floors of a building and 6 walls. Yeah. Wow. I'm going to start working out just so, like, I can handle that. So your arm gets tired, like...
Yeah, after all of that.
Holding it up.
So it's just basically, it's still going to be just strictly lettering, though.
Yes. Mix in with some illustration. Okay. Like, I'm trying to dabble into that a little more, too. Like, I've done a couple flowers. It's kind of easy to just like look at and replicate, but yeah, trying to find like an illustration style too to like work in with the lettering.
Okay, okay, which is cool. Which is cool. Well, Lisa, this has been awesome, but the last question is, what advice would you have for creatives?
Oh God, read or listen to audiobooks. That has been helping me a ton and like fueling the fire. And okay, so besides reading, what else? Oh, networking. That's huge. Like that is how you get all the cool projects and stuff, and asking questions and reaching out to people on Instagram. I've learned a ton through that way. I've made friends through that way. This is probably how you got started in interviewing too, right? So that's been super helpful. And creating habits. I'm reading like I forget the title, but like The Art of Habits or something.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it. Yeah, I've heard of it.
The cover's yellow and there's a bunch of wheels, but mm-hmm. That like totally makes sense. Like we develop a habit, stick with it, and eventually you'll get an Instagram following or a body of work that you're really proud of. So, yeah.
Awesome. I mean, I'm really excited to have you on, and I'm so glad you accepted, and you, like, you're just bubbling with just energy, man.
At 6:30 in the morning, too. Crazy, right? No, this is awesome. I'm so glad you asked. I was like, oh, you want to interview me? Why? No, so it's really cool. And you're in New York, right?
Well, I used to live in New York. I'm in Georgia right now. I'm in Georgia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
I live in
Very
Georgia.
Very fun.
Yeah.
I was listening to Nick's interview. I think that's your latest one there.
Yes, yes.
And you were talking about New York. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I was in New York.
Yeah, I used to live in New York, so when I heard that Nick is living in New York, it was kind of like, you know, we had that New York connection. Because gotcha. Once you live in New York, you're a New Yorker for life. it's just that type of place.
Yeah.
Have you been?
Yes, I went twice in college, just like with everybody. And I've been dying to go back ever since, but there's no place like it. I love it.
That is the truth. That is the truth. Well, Lisa, I'm going to let you go, but thanks again for being on the show, and I'll keep you posted.
Thank you, and I'll see you at Creative South. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait, too.
Right, I'm giving you the biggest hug.
Hopefully. I'm not sure if it'd be bigger than Mike's, but...
got a little bit more working out to do.
Oh my gosh. Alright, Lisa, take care.
Alright, thanks for starting off my week positively.
Alright.
Alright, bye.
You can always connect with me at DP Creates on Instagram or Twitter. If you ever want to have a conversation, ask a question, that's DP Creates at Instagram or Twitter. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I would love to get your feedback. So please leave a review on iTunes and keep sharing the podcast on social media. Be blessed.